Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Stock Car Spectacle. This is Season 2. I'm Ian Jortson.
And I'm Mike Gamble.
And I'm Nick Kinzel.
And we're excited to have you guys back. And let's start off.
We're back.
With rolling in.
And guess what? Yeah. My name is on the logo.
It finally is.
I'm not off to the side. I'm a full member of the team
this
now.
This is about to be our first full season together. So, I've been itching to get back in the studio.
Yep.
Here we are again.
It's exciting, boys. And we have a special announcement. We have actually teamed up with Ashland Heddens Racing in the Central States Region Super Cup Series. They race in the Midwest here in Illinois. They race a lot at Grundy County Speedway, Blackhawk Speedway. They run up in the Dells. So if you guys can check them out, that'd be awesome. Give them some support. Follow them on Twitter and Instagram. We're going to be following them around all season as they run the whole series. So with that announcement.
Yeah, boy, it's just really exciting, honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be really good for us as a group here to really start branching our way out there. And yeah, it's just really cool. We're going to have our sticker on a race car.
Yeah.
I think one of the biggest reasons we all got into this podcast together was not only do we like NASCAR, like talking about racing, but we want to make an impact on the sport. And this
goal
is that first step.
Yeah.
So very excited for this partnership and the future together. So yeah, guys, check it out. It's going to be a lot of cool stuff coming from the year from that. So
we're excited, and we're going to be covering their whole season. So make sure to follow along on our channel for all those videos. So let's roll into the video now. Let's start off with our diecast of the week. Nick, what you got, buddy?
All right, so for my first diecast of the week here in Season 2, while we're kind of in that Daytona preseason thunder, didn't have a preseason thunder car. Something I really want to get for next year's show, actually. But so, I'm rolling out with the 2019 Daniel Hemric Bass Pro Shops, the RCR 50 year anniversary. This is the car Daniel ran at Daytona last year. So, it's just, what else can you say about it? It's just a really nice looking race car with the gold and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Had a solid running in this car. He did get wrecked, though.
Of course.
Story of Hemdog season last year. So really hoping for better things. But, yeah, what better way to start the season than with a really nice looking race car like that?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, all the RCR cars that they brought out for Daytona looked beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Even
Reddick ran a gold car, too.
Yeah.
The gold number two. So.
That's awesome. Yeah. So, Mike, what you got, buddy?
So, this is a car I got as a gift, and I decided to bring it in because, number one, it was probably one of the coolest things I got for Christmas this year.
Yeah.
Number two, we're going into a new season. Everybody's got their eyes on championships. That's what all the top teams are thinking about. So I brought in this diecast, which is basically a mural car of my childhood hero, Jeff Gordon's four championships. It's all over the car. This is honestly, guys, one of the coolest diecasts I've ever received as a gift.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
I've never seen that thing before until I saw you unwrap that. Like, even me thinking, like, wow, that is a pretty cool car.
And you hate Jeff Gordon.
I will be the first to say I'm not the biggest Jeff Gordon supporter, but, I mean, you just got to look at this thing.
Oh,
this thing is just amazing looking.
It's
a
piece of art, man.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Really cool find.
I just want to add one thing for everybody watching at home. Nick saying he's not the biggest Jeff Gordon supporter is exactly him showing how nice he's going to try to be this year. Because let me tell you, that is him putting it mildly.
Yeah.
That's me putting it mildly. That's the goal this season.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We're going to have a there's going to be nice Nick this year.
Oh, yeah. All right, so for my diecast of the week, I brought in Bubba Wallace's 2018 Daytona 500 second place finish car.
Badass.
I mean, amazing. It was, I think it was his fifth cup start, I believe.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. And he gets a second place finish. You know, wild, crazy race going on. And Denny Hamlin's putting him into the wall.
Yeah, they're fighting after the
race. This is the race that got Bubba Wallace kicked out of Denny Hamlin's basketball game.
Yeah, right.
But I'm pretty sure Bubba didn't really care about that because he finished second in Daytona 500.
But exactly. I love this diecast. Just the beautiful, like, purple and blue. They just work so well together.
Just the detail that they got on that car.
And the damage. Yeah. You know, it's crazy. You know, people be like, why do you want, you know, your cars to look damaged? Like, that's what it looked like when it raced.
Exactly. That's the point of a raced version.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's why I could pay that extra money for it. But yeah, that was a really emotional race because I think there was his press conference when he was talking about his mom or something like that. So that was just awesome to see.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Those are just things you like to see.
Yeah. And then we got to see him get a third place finish at Indy. So
his second best finish ever.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was great. again, being a big Bubba fan, I have that diecast in my collection. That's one of my favorites. Ian, you hit the nail on the head. The damage and everything on that car and the story behind it with Bubba's Daytona run and everything that happened was just phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, that's a great diecast.
Oh, without a doubt. Let's talk about some things that we're going to be
right,
doing.
So, well, we are attending quite a few. Well, we plan on attending quite a few races this season. The first one would be, this is the biggest announcement we've made and for races that we're going to this season. It's going to have to be the inaugural night race at Martinsville Speedway.
Oh, yep. Yeah.
The whole stock car spectacle is going to be there. It's going to be amazing.
Yep.
First night race happens to be on my dad's birthday. So that's why I was like, what cooler way to spend your birthday than the first ever night race run at Martinsville Speedway.
It's such a great
and
time.
And he wasn't even on board for it for the first like couple months when I kept bringing it up.
Yep.
I was like, and then finally, I was like, Dad, here's the thing. I'm going one way with or without you. So this is on your birthday. What better way would you want to spend it? So yeah, I'm really,
right.
This is
yep.
probably the race I'm looking forward to
Absolutely.
Going to the most
yeah.
this season.
Yeah.
And then we got Iowa Speedway coming up in June.
Yep, we're going to go there for the Xfinity and Truck Series weekend.
Yep, and then the very next weekend, Chicagoland Speedway.
Yep.
Back again for Father's Day weekend, so that'll be fun. I think we're planning on doing the Michigan races, both Michigan
right.
races.
Yep.
Just going up for the Cup races because it's just another track.
Yeah.
To really, to
and then
from bucket list.
I want
to
take this guy to Road America. This guy is so against road courses. He doesn't even want to go.
Even though his favorite track was running there. Okay. I wouldn't say I'm totally against him. I just don't think I would enjoy it as much in person as you would. I don't know. That's just because road course racing, to me, I like it, but it's not the most exciting thing.
Don't
knock
until you see it in person, man.
Yeah, I guess. Because, I mean, Watkins, if we were going to a road course, I would want it to be Watkins Glen because that's my favorite road course, but I'm not making the trip to New York, and I don't think any of you guys are. But,
and those
I mean,
tickets are a hot commodity, huh? They
yeah,
seem to go fast.
They go fast, but you did say something very important. Daniel Hemric is running that race, so if I'm around, I guess I'm going to have to go.
So that's a possibility there.
We got another year at the Brickyard lined
yep.
up. We're going to get to see the first ever Xfinity Series race.
On the road course there.
They went for the 14-10
right.
road
that's
course.
Gonna be
so
great.
It's going to be exciting to see. And
right.
we get to use our vouchers for buying the NASCAR Heat 4 video game.
There
yep.
we go.
We're
that's
pretty
gonna
much
going to
pay
yep.
$5 for a ticket on
yeah.
Sunday. So
yeah, right.
Looking forward to that. And yeah, I think that's our year of racing. Right
yeah.
Now.
One,
then,
one other quick thing I want to add to that. One thing I'm really looking forward to, guys, when we get into Martinsville. As you guys both know, another one of the podcasts that we interact with quite a bit. For the Lead is from that area.
Yes, they are.
We're already in talks with them about maybe putting something together for that weekend. So, guys, look out for that. That's going to be exciting.
Yeah.
Any of our listeners that don't already, please check out the For the Lead podcast. I think you guys really
yeah,
like what
I mean,
you see.
Oh, yeah.
If we were able to come together, that would be just two great podcasts coming together. I think that would put on one hell of a show.
Oh yeah. Without a doubt. And
with
they said they possibly want to come out to Chicagoland, too.
Yeah,
so
we might have a couple collabs with them this season. But yeah, guys, go check them out. They have a really nice show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So, let's jump into the silly season here, so Ian, you want to take it away so let's talk about Roush Fenway Racing. So Ryan Newman still gonna be with Scott Graves, but then we got Chris Buescher. He's coming in and he's gonna be running the 17 car. He's gonna be teamed up with Luke Lambert. So boys, what would you give their off-season grade?
Michael, let's go first.
I'm gonna give him a solid B.
Mm-hmm.
So bringing in Chris Buescher, I think, is a huge boost to that team. Chris Buescher is a guy that ran for Roush Fenway, won an Xfinity Championship with that team in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
He stepped away from the team under somewhat controversial terms. It seemed a lot of, if you listen to social media, that there was some bad blood between Buescher and Roush Fenway at the time.
Yeah.
Especially if you look at, I think it was Chris Buescher's wife was maybe saying some things about stepping away to try to save his career. Because that's right when Roush was kind of on their very big decline.
They were on their
yeah.
very, very big decline.
But he still had that contract with them, though.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's
so,
really why he came back, is because
right.
he's still technically
on their roster.
On
yeah.
their roster.
So
that's what was so strange about it. Yeah, I have to give him a solid B+. I mean, it's great that Chris Buescher's coming back. I mean, this is another fresh start for him. Because, yeah, I think Roush... Him and Roush the first time, I really think that they kind of screwed him over a little bit, because
mm-hmm.
I think he deserved a very good seat with them
yeah,
because of what he did. He won the 2015 Xfinity Series Championship,
yeah.
and then that was just it for him. He was gone after that. So this is them maybe giving him, like, a, this is them saying, we're sorry for that. And I think, I really think they can have a very nice 2020
right.
season. Because, yeah, for my expectations, we'll get into the expectations.
Yeah.
Down. So for the expectations for that.
Hold up. Let me get my off-season
grade.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
Right.
So,
we forgot about our host.
My off-season grade for Roush Fenway, I got to give them a B just for bringing in Chris Buescher. You know, he's a guy that brought them Xfinity Series Championship. So why not bring in the guy that did that for you? And now let's get into our expectations. Mike, let's start off with you for expectations.
So I think both of these teams are teams that could potentially fight for the last few spots in the playoff pecking order here. We saw Ryan Newman came close last year.
Yeah.
I think Chris Buescher with the right team could be a very good car. I think we saw what he did at JTG, and now the question's going to be, is this a step up or is it not? I think this is going to be a step up for him. I think it's a little more of a stable team. I think he's going
to
have a pretty good crew chief with Luke Lambert.
Yeah, I was just about
yeah.
to say.
Yeah. I see both of these cars, you know, being like your 15th, 16th, maybe 17th place cars fighting for those last couple playoff spots.
Yeah.
And I think Chris Buescher is going to have every opportunity, and maybe even Ryan Newman as well, to sneak a win, preferably maybe
that's
even at like a
yeah.
plate race.
That's what I'm thinking here. I think Ryan Newman's actually in for quite the season. I have him as a solid playoff contender. Maybe he's able to jump himself out of the round of 16 and the round of 12, but like he did last year. But, yeah, maybe he does get some wins this season because he really seemed he was just the man of consistency last year for that organization.
Right. Yeah.
And so maybe he does sneak in a win or two. Who knows? Because he was close a couple times last
yeah.
season.
Yeah.
And he's a good plate racer. He runs good at some of these shorter tracks. So, yeah, I can like look at what he ran at Richmond. He was running up in the top five at Richmond. So
yeah.
tracks like that, I think Ryan Newman could be have a very solid 2020 season. And for the 17th, yeah, you said it yourself, solid crew chief and Luke Lambert. Luke Lambert and Ryan Newman almost won a cup championship together back in 2014.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I really think it's going to be good for Chris Buescher, good for the whole organization. I think we're finally starting to see Roush Fenway come back a little bit. I think the 17 car is a possible playoff contender. Again, like Mike said, right around he'll get like the 16th or 15th seed if he does get it. I
yeah.
don't really see any wins for this car this season unless it's on a restricted play racetrack.
Yeah.
We'll just really have to see the kind of car that Roush is going to give him this season.
Yeah, exactly.
Ian, what you got?
So for my expectations for Roush Fenway this season, I think Newman's going to do exactly what he did past season. He's going to make it in by points. Maybe he'll get, like you guys said, a plate win. We saw how he did at Talladega. You know, he had that photo finish with Ryan Blaney at the end, but then Sir Blaney came as the winner.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Newman's going to make it in by points, you know, and he's going to still be the hardest guy to pass.
Oh,
whether
of course.
Whether he's two laps down or he's on the lead lap.
Harder
right?
to pass, almost as hard to pass as a kidney stone. That's what people like to say about him.
There you go. And then I got Buescher. I'm having him have an average season. He could make it, you know, he could be the 16th seed going into the playoffs, but either way, I think he's going to make that team a lot better. It's going to take a few years, but we'll see how he does.
See?
Yeah.
All right, so let's move into the Wood Brothers. We got Matt DiBenedetto moving in from LFR, and he's going to be crewed up with Greg Irwin. So what are you guys' grades for
you
the
take
off-season?
This one away,
yeah.
brother.
Yeah.
All right, so I gave an off-season grade of an A- because, well, I am, for those who don't know, I am going to be taking on Matt DiBenedetto as my driver for the 2020 season. I really started liking the guy last year, which is funny because at the beginning of last season, I had him on my fantasy team and I dropped him right away because I didn't
yeah.
think he was going to be that good. I remember I traded him for Bubba Wallace and, yeah. So I really expect a very good season for Matt DiBenedetto. I mean, he's coming off a very strong 2019, and I just think he's going to carry that momentum. He damn near won a race last
mm-hmm.
year, so he's in a little bit better equipment here with Wood Brother Alliance with Penske Racing, so solid A- for the 21 crew.
All right.
I would tend to agree. I think an A- is a very fair grade for the Wood Brothers. I would like to add one little caveat. You rooting for Matt DiBenedetto means this will probably be his last year at the cup level. No, all jokes aside, though, no, I think that's a great move for both parties. I think Matt DiBenedetto is set up to flourish. The Wood Brothers being one of the oldest, most prestigious teams in the sport.
Yep.
Then you put a driver who's becoming one of the fan favorites very quickly with everything he did last year. I think this is one of those teams. They should be, I think, a 13th, 14th, 15th
yeah.
best car
yeah.
in about the playoffs. I think Matt could fight for a win or two this year. I'm going to peck him at one win or maybe making the playoffs on points.
Yeah.
I would really love to see him get that 100th win for the Wood Brothers.
Oh,
I think he's the
yeah.
perfect story for it. And I would love to see it done at...
Bristol Motor Speedway.
Exactly.
Oh, you know it, baby. All right, so my off-season grade for Wood Brothers is A-. I mean, we've seen the kind of equipment that Matt DiBenedetto has run in the past few years, and it's been not the best equipment, but he's still been putting it up, like, you know, especially at, you know, tracks like Bristol,
right.
Martinsville, you know, the super speedways, he's been doing fantastic.
Yeah.
We even saw him lead the Daytona 500 last year.
So, yeah,
so,
exactly.
I think fantastic person, you know, and, you know, shout out to Paul Menard for, you know, bringing
exactly.
in Matt DiBenedetto to help this team out. And I think, yeah, so let's go with expectations. What do you guys got?
So, yeah, for Matty D this year, like Mike said, I think he can run anywhere from 13th to 15th. He's
mm-hmm.
going to have a strong car. There's going to be some races where he's going to sneak up in there and be really good because Matt DiBenedetto is really strong on the short tracks. We saw Bristol last
yep.
year. He's really strong in the road courses. I think he had top 5, top 10 finishes in almost all the road course
right.
races last year.
He almost won at Road
he
America.
Almost won at Road America,
mm-hmm.
the JGR car. And then he's really strong in the plate races. Like you said, he leads laps there.
Yeah.
And I think he's a very strong possible playoff contender. And he maybe gets that 100th win. And I think if he's going to do it, he's going to be in the Daytona 500.
Okay. Oh,
okay.
Right. There's a bold prediction, so I wonder who your Daytona 500 winner is going to be now.
I wonder.
So, yeah. Yeah, I think, listen, I think this is a team I really want to see them come back.
Mm-hmm.
This is a team Ryan Blaney made the playoffs with in 2 years, I believe. Both years he was there.
Mm-hmm.
2017, 2018.
Did he run
yeah.
two full seasons with Wood Brothers?
I believe
yes,
he did.
Yes, yes,
yeah,
yeah,
I believe he did, yes. So
2016, 2017.
16, 17,
yeah.
I'm sorry. Yes, that is correct.
Yeah.
I want to see this team come back. Blaney had success there, got them in the
oh,
playoffs
yeah.
both years, got a win with that team.
Mm-hmm.
After he left, the team kind of fell off a little bit under Paul Menard.
Yeah.
They were still, you know, that average, like 16th to 19th place.
Right.
Which,
yeah.
That's not what you really want to see.
Right. I think Matty D is the kind of driver who can get them back. I don't think they're a front-running team that's
no,
going to be a championship
no.
contender,
yeah.
but I don't think they're that far away. Like I said, I think they're back half of the, you know, back half of the top 10, anywhere from about 10th to a 15th place car.
Mm-hmm.
10th is maybe a little optimistic, but we're just going to have to see what Matt DiBenedetto can do. I'm already having trouble with that name. But no, I think Matty D and that team are going to have a good year. I think he gets a win. I think they're going to be, like I said, probably about 13th, 14th in the points.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think Matty D is going to have a wonderful season. He's going to get Wood Brothers' 100th win, and it's going to happen at the Bristol Night Race. And
oh, wow, that would be the
first
playoff
shots,
race.
Huh?
That would be the first playoff, or that would be the cutoff race for the
yeah.
first round of the playoffs this
yep.
year.
That's
so he's going to make it in by
points,
and then
win
at Bristol.
Oh,
yeah.
my.
So that's my prediction for him. And he's going to have a great season.
Hey, bud, you want to put $20 on that?
Put
that in this video a little bit later?
Let me see how the season goes. We have a long way to go for that. But, okay, so let's get into RCR now.
So breaking down Richard Childress Racing for this season,
mm.
They are going to be another kind of enigmatic team. You don't really know what to expect. Like we just kind of talked about, I think adding Justin Alexander brings a level of familiarity and comfort to Austin Dillon.
Mm.
I think this is the kind of move that maybe helps propel him in the direction he needs to be moving. The only problem is I think he's going to be overshadowed by a really strong rookie in Tyler Reddick in that 8 car.
Oh.
Him and Randall Burdette coming up together. They were championship team again. You know, part of the big three, rookie of the year contenders.
Yep.
I think that team is really going to take off. It's just, you just don't know what kind of speed they're going to have.
That's just the thing about RCR these past years is they just lack the speed. It seems last year their story was, we're going to be really fast in practice and qualifying. When the race comes up, we're going to act like we don't know what we're doing.
Mm.
It's really how the last few years have gone for them.
What's your guys' off-season grade for RCR?
I would give them a B-, C+.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think adding Tyler Reddick is a big piece,
mm.
but at the same time, Austin Dillon's been your mainstay here for so long. You helped him, but There's still that butt there.
Yeah.
What are we going to do with it?
I gave him a B, too. Reddick looks promising for 2020. It looks like he could potentially be the future of Richard Childress Racing. That's what everyone's hyping up to be.
Yeah.
But there's always that butt aspect.
Yeah.
Is RCR finally going to have some good speed this year? Consistent speed is what I should say.
Yeah.
Yeah, I gave them a B as well. You know, just for bringing up Tyler Reddick, you know, he's very, very competitive in the Xfinity Series. He won 2 championships in a row. So, yeah, why not bring him up, help the team out, and be successful? Yeah.
Right.
So, what are you guys' expectations?
Going into the expectations for 2020 for RCR, I'm going to do it based team by team. The 3 team, I think, is anywhere from about a 15th to a 20th place team, probably trending a little more towards the back half of those 5 positions.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I think it's one of those things. He could be a sneaking into the last spot or two for the playoffs. I could see him finishing 20th or 21st even as well.
Yeah.
It could go either way. The big question there is, will Tyler Reddick overshadow him? Tyler Reddick is going to be a Rookie of the Year contender. I think he's the kind of driver with his personality and his demeanor, he's going to come out looking for blood.
Yeah.
He is not the kind of guy that's going to sit back and want to learn. He's going to come out racing. He's kind of an enigma. I don't know where he's going to be. I would just tend to, for all intents and purposes, put him in about that same area, 15th to 20th, maybe contending for a win or so here and there.
Okay.
So what I got? So for the 3 car, kind of like what Mike said, I put him as a 17th to 19th place car. RCR just lacks speed. I really don't think Austin Dillon's going to be up there contending for wins. I think he's going to miss the playoffs this year. And for Tyler Reddick, a little bit different. For Tyler Reddick, I have him as a 16th to 21st place car based on the equipment that they're in right now. Not to say that Tyler Reddick's not going to go out there and wheel in one, because we all know the man's a wheel man. So he's Rookie of the Year contender. He's got a really strong shot to win that. But at the end of the day, I don't think his rookie season is going to end with him making the playoffs or going to victory lane. It's going to be a year of learning for him as well. He's had some success in some cup cars. He got like a top 10 in Kansas last year.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you just never know. But for what I know from my experience with being with RCR, for rooting for them, they tend to lack speed. So he could look promising, but I have him as a 16th to 21st place car.
Okay.
That's probably fair.
Yeah, my expectations, Reddick, like you said, I think he's going to help the team tremendously. He's, as much as he can, because, they don't have the equipment that they used to have when like Harvick was with, or even Earnhardt was with the team. But he's going to help them out. He's going to be the poster child of RCR. Dillon, he's not going to have a great season. I mean, we've seen him year in and year out, just, average, mediocre, rides. He only got wins from fuel strategy and, Daytona, still takes skill to win the 500, but plate racing, you're kind of in that position where anyone can kind of win that.
Yeah, you can kind of chance your way into that at times.
But, I don't think Dillon's going to do well. I think he's going to be, 18th in points by the end of the season, and I think Reddick, 16th or 17th, I think he could have a chance of sneaking his way into the playoffs. Because we've seen him do well at an intermediate track like Kansas before, so why not?
So the only contradictory that I have to that is, yes, Tyler Reddick, he's got so much hype up around him, but Daniel Hemric also was supposed to be very promising in this ride last year. I know Hemric doesn't have the Xfinity titles or the wins to go by, but he was very consistent in his time in the Xfinity series.
That's correct.
And then he gets brought up and then to run like that, so I really hope Tyler Reddick has a great 2020 season, but I would not be surprised if that team just lacks the speed and he kind of has a season like a Daniel Hemric has. So we just have to really see what kind of speed, what kind of car they're going to give him.
I agree.
Yeah.
And one little caveat I just want to add before we move on to our next team. You just wonder with Austin Dillon how much more leash is he going to be given.
Yeah.
I know the family ties with Richard Childress, but at the same time, how often can you keep pumping money, resources, and time into a guy that just isn't doing what you'd expect somebody in this situation to be doing?
Really, yeah.
The question is Austin Dillon making my race team better? Guys, he's been in the Cup Series since, I think, his first year. 2013.
I'd say 13, yeah.
So he's entering year 7 here, and I don't know. That's just the question that Richard Childress is going to have to think about. Because if you get some up-and-coming talent that he has an opportunity to put into that seat, is he going to do it? That's just something that he's going to have to think about long and hard.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's a very good question.
Yeah.
All right, so let's move into GTG Racing. So we got Ryan Preece with the addition of Ricky Stenhouse Jr. moving over to JTG. We had Ryan Preece going over to the 37, and Ricky Stenhouse is going to the 47. Originally, Stenhouse was going to go to 37, but they swapped them. So what would you guys grade their off season?
All right, so I gave them a C plus to a B minus. Mm-hmm. It's very good that they got a veteran driver and Ricky Stenhouse to join the team, but this man still has a lot to prove to himself and to his race team, because in the past, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. has been known to wreck some race cars. That's Jack Roush did not like that, and that could have played into him losing his seat over there. Don't know that for a fact, but it probably went into it. So he's got a lot to prove this year with his new team. But it's still nice that JTG is getting a guy like Stenhouse in there who's been around the Cup Series. I think his first year was also 2013. Yeah, because that was Kent's first year in the 20 at JDR. So, yeah, we'll just really have to see. But for now, C plus, B minus range for me.
Okay.
That's a fair grade. I would say about a C plus is probably a fair grade for JTG Doherty Racing. Although Ricky Stenhouse does have much to prove based on his lack of ability to finish race cars, he is still a championship caliber race car driver. He's won championships at the Xfinity level, then nationwide level. I don't think you can discount that. He can win at plate races as well. I think he's a guy that comes into a team like this and brings in a boatload of knowledge and experience that makes this team better. This is not a front-running team, per se. This is a team that Chris Buescher did have success with, but other than that, has struggled.
Right.
I think he's a guy that can come in and get them in the right path. So I think a C-plus is a good grade. They stayed with Preece, moved him over to what was their primary car last year.
That could really help him.
Yeah. Really interested to see how that's going to be with him in the more stable, dependent equipment.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just going to have to wait and see there.
Yeah. My off-season grade, I got to go with a B-minus. Bringing in Ricky Stenhouse, you know, he has, you know, had trouble, you know, wrecking cars and all that, but he still is that veteran driver that can teach Ryan Preece a lot about the Cup Series.
Right.
The team, you know, we don't really see them do well. You know, they do average throughout the season.
They definitely
have
gotten better.
No, they definitely have gotten better, but I still think their only chance of having, like, good finishes is at, like, plate races. So, and, you know, Ricky Stenhouse is amazing with plate tracks.
Yeah, he really
so
knows how to get done.
He can show Ryan Preece, you know, how to get it done, you know, how to work the draft and work it out.
Exactly.
So, what are your guys' expectations for them?
So, the 37 car of Ryan Preece, yes, he's taking over Chris Buescher's ride from last year, which Chris Buescher did amazing things in for the equipment that he's running in.
Yeah.
But for me, I still think that this is a 20th to a 24th place race car. Maybe he sneaks in some top 20s, but really no wins, misses the playoffs, because I just haven't seen it yet for Ryan Preece yet. I mean, this is going to be his second full year. He's going to he's got a year of experience, a full-time cup racing under his belt, but... Yeah, the team still is probably just lacking some speed overall equipment. So
he's also a victim of being brought up way too soon.
Yeah, you could also make a case for that. But, yeah, I think it's fair to put him from anywhere from 20th to 24th place.
Mm-hmm.
And then for the 47 of Stenhouse, I said he's going to be anywhere from a 15th to a 22nd place race car. They're going to be, I think he's going to be, he has a chance to be a consistent top 20 team for JTG Racing. He's really good on the restricted play racetracks, so he can get some possible wins on the restricted play racetracks. So I put him as a potential playoff driver for the season.
Okay.
Okay. For 2020, I see both of these cars probably in that 20 to 25th place range. While adding Stenhouse does help, this is a team that's still growing, learning, and looking to better themselves. I think for this team, if both cars can get right around that 20th place into the higher teens, that's a successful season.
Yeah.
Ricky Stenhouse, as you both have stated, does have the ability to go out and win at a restrictor plate. I think that's something that's not out of the realm of possibility this year. We'll just have to wait and see. But I think that is their only chance at making the playoffs. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that both these teams find a way to sneak a couple top 10s in.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's about it. I think they're going to be 20th to 25th place cars, sneaking into the top 15 and top 10 occasionally.
Yeah.
Anything inside the top 20 would be a really good year for this team.
Oh, yeah. So my 2020 expectations, I don't think either cars are going to make the playoffs. I think it's going to be a learning year for this team. Preece is going to learn a lot off of Stenhouse, and Stenhouse might even learn a lot off of Preece. So, yeah, it's going to be a learning year. I'm thinking top 25 finish in points for both of these cars. So, yeah, let's move on to Stewart Haas Racing. Kevin Harvick, Clint Bowyer, Eric Almirola, and the addition of Cole Custer taking over the 41, replacing Daniel Suarez. So, what is your guys' off-season grade for Stewart Haas Racing?
I go with a solid B for this team. You added one of the big three drivers from the Xfinity Series. Mm-hmm. I think that's really going to boost the team. I really think Daniel Suarez was given a rough deal here, but at the same time, it's hard to deny Cole Custer this opportunity.
Right.
I think the crew chief switch will benefit everybody here. I really don't think there's anybody who got too much of a raw deal in this team.
Mm-hmm.
I think Buga and Eric Almirola will be a good fit. I think Klossmeyer will bring a steadiness and a calmness that Bowyer needs,
yeah,
because he seems to kind of be an up and down kind of guy. I think that all four of these teams are going to have a bounce back year, as we saw SHR down last year.
Right.
I think this is the year you see three or all four of these cars get back to the way they should be.
Yeah, I give them a solid B as well. Yeah, it's very good of them bringing in Cole Custer, who is another potential to win that Rookie of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the crew chief swaps between the 14 and the 10 cars could really pay dividends to both of these drivers. But yeah, like he said, I think this is the year SHR bounces back because they had a very down year last year.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're going to get back to seeing them the way that they are. And even that 41 car is going to be a stronger car this year.
Yeah. Okay, my off-season grade, I got to say A. Just because you're bringing in, you know, one of the big three from the Xfinity Series. He dominated last year. And then, obviously, the crew chief swap with Klossmeyer and Buga. Yeah, like you said, it's going to make Clint Bowyer, like, you know, a lot steadier driver. We've seen that with Klossmeyer doing that with drivers. So, yeah, I would give them a solid A just for the point of bringing up Cole Custer, because I really think it's his time to shine and to help this 41 come back and be a more competitive race team.
Right.
So, what are you guys' expectations for 2020 for SHR?
So, going into 2020 for Stewart Haas Racing, we have to look at each car, I think.
Mm-hmm.
First and foremost, the big dog there, Kevin Harvick, is a championship contender, a championship expectation. He goes into 2020 expecting to unseat Kyle Busch and be the 2020 champion. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility. I think that's exactly where they need to be looking. I think they need to be looking to win multiple races and be a champion.
Right.
I think if you're looking at the 10 and 14 cars, I think they both need to be expecting to make the playoffs, and both cars will have the potential to make deeper runs, potentially into the rounds of 12, 8, maybe even 4.
Right.
I think round of 12 and 8 is probably about where they'll land. You would just like to see both of these guys really come back to where they were 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Going into the 41 ride, it's a rookie year for Cole Custer. Out of the rookie class, I think he's found himself in the best situation. I think the 41 ride is the strongest ride out of the rookie cars.
Mm-hmm.
I think coming over to Mike Shiplett, somebody he's comfortable with, will help.
Yeah.
I think this is another one of those cars. I know we've kind of been in this groove. I think he's going to be, you know, this 14th, 15th, 16th playoff car.
Yeah.
I think that battle for those last 2, 3, 4 spots in the playoffs is going to be so entertaining this year. And I think the big three is going to be right in the middle of it for the most part. Cole Custer will be right there. He's a potential rookie of the year.
Mm-hmm. It all comes down to Daytona as a final race.
Yeah, that's going to be crazy.
That's going
to
make it crazy
season.
So, yeah. All right. So, for my 2020 expectations, I expect big things out of Stewart Haas Racing this year. Kevin Harvick, championship contender. I can easily see this team winning 4 to 6 races this season. And yeah, being a contender when we get to Phoenix. The 14 of Clint Bowyer, I just expect him to be another playoff contender. Hopes to get back to victory lane after a pretty disappointing 2019 season, I'd have to say. And then for the 10 car, Eric Almirola, same thing. He's going to be a playoff contender, possible race winner. He's a very good restrictor plate racer. And some of these short tracks like New Hampshire and Dover, he's put together some good runs.
Yeah.
So we could see some better things out of the 10 car this year, deeper run. And then, yeah, for the 41 car, Cole Custer, I just have this as a season of learning for him. I think top 15 runs should be the goal for him. Maybe even sneak in a couple top 10s. And yes, I also do have him as a possible playoff contender based off of the points. I don't think he finds victory lane. I think he's going to do this off of points. And like Mike said, there's going to be one hell of a battle for those last couple spots.
Oh, yeah. So for my 2020 expectations, I think, you know, Cole Custer, it's going to be a year of learning for him. But he's had 3-4 seasons running in the Xfinity Series. He's ready to go run in the Cup Series. And I think Stewart Haas, they're just going to be like what they were in 2018 and just be a winning machine. Clint Boyer is going to come. He's going to win one or two races. I think Eric Almirola is going to be dominant at the plate races this year. He's going to possibly win Talladega again. We know how he is there. And then Kevin Harvick, I got him probably winning 5 to 7 races this year because he's hungry for a championship. He's pissed off he didn't win the championship last year, so he's hungry.
I'd agree.
I'd have to say so.
All right, so let's go into Gaunt Brothers Racing. We have the addition of Daniel Suarez coming in from Stewart Haas Racing. He's going to be paired up with Dave Winston. What would you guys give their off-season grade?
I mean, I give them an A- because it's always good to go out there and get themselves a veteran driver who seeks redemption and is committed to long-term success. Because when we ended our show last season, Daniel Suarez was without a ride. So
yeah.
He was probably the biggest guy on our list to where is he going to land. And then, yeah, all up until like last week, this was all made official. So I'd have to give him an A- for going out there and giving Suarez a chance because it seems to me like he's committed to long-term success here. So I think he's going to stick around Gaunt Bros for quite a while and try and turn his team around.
Okay.
Right. I think if you're looking at the team, an A- is a very strong grade and a very fair grade for GBR. Adding a driver of Daniel Suarez's caliber to a team that's not been a front runner is a huge ordeal.
Right.
I think he brings in brand recognition with his name. He brings in the international fans that NASCAR craves.
Yep.
I think he brings in the sponsorship money with Coca-Cola and everybody that he's had behind him in the past. I think this is going to be a long-term kind of partnership for both Suarez and the team. I think he's a little tired of bouncing from team to team, as he said.
We were kind of talking about that, like, is this going to be a one-year deal before he goes somewhere else? But no, from what I heard from him, it sounds like he is very much committed to being here long-term.
Right. Yeah. I think he is committed to trying to make this next Furniture Road kind of race team here. So I'm going to be really interested to see also because they've got TRD backing. I'm interested to see what this team is able to do
we'll see.
And what kind of strides are you able to make in 2020.
Exactly. I gave them a B+ just because, you know, adding on Daniel Suarez. He's gotten the short stick out of everything. He hasn't really been able to show. I mean, he's had three seasons. That's probably some of the best equipment, but it does suck because he was brought up way too early. So it's like he wasn't ready to run these Cup cars, but I don't know, at the same time, you've already had 3 full seasons running in the top tier cars.
I scratch his first year in the Cup Series.
Yeah, I would scratch that one off.
But yeah, second and third, I don't know.
It's just hard because he was brought up way too early. It's just it sucks that Carl Edwards had to do that.
Do what he did.
But B+. For me, so what would your guys' 2020 expectations be then?
All right, so I'm not expecting anything huge or anything big out of this team this year. This is their first year together, but I do expect them to run anywhere from 21st to 26th, and that's with even some possible 20s mixed in there because of the money that Daniel Suarez is bringing in. When Parker Kligerman drove this car, there wasn't enough money going into the team as Daniel Suarez is going to be able to bring.
Yeah.
He's bringing in guys like Coca-Cola and everything. So I don't see any playoffs or wins this season for them, but 21st to 26th place for their first year together so they can learn who they are as an organization.
Yeah.
And I only think it gets better from here.
Right. Nick, something you just said is kind of my theme for Gaunt Brothers and Daniel Suarez for 2020 is learn who they are. I don't think there's any very real or set expectations for this team for this season. I think this is going to be a season of figuring out, this is what we have, this is who we have in the car, how does this fit, how do we make this work, and how do we make this better for a long-term future partnership.
Right.
I think you're spot on. They're going to be in that 20th to 25th place kind of rank, I think. That's about where Parker had them at times, and I think the money will help them, but I just don't know how much.
Yeah, exactly.
I think they could be into the second half of the teams at times. I think there's times they could fall into the lower half of the 20s as well.
Yeah.
We're just going to have to wait and see. I think this is a season where, again, there are no real expectations. Let's see what we have with the two together and how do we make it work in the future.
Okay. 2020 expectations. I think Suarez is going to take this team and make them a lot better. but I still think he's going to be struggling, possibly even more now that he's with kind of a more of an underfunded team. So, yeah, he's going to have to kind of prove himself with this ride, but I can see him going, probably finishing 25th, 26th in the points by the end of the season.
Yeah, this is going to be a struggle because he's from the rides that he's been in with Gibbs and Stuart Haas Racing to this, it's going to be a real challenge for him, but it could really pay off in the end in a couple of years from now. Say he stays for a long term, this could really pay off for him. And like you said, this could potentially turn into another Furniture Row Racing.
Yeah. Who knows?
Just have to see what Daniel Suarez can do. So best of luck in 2020, bud.
Yeah. Exactly.
I think this is going to be a really fun one to look back in 2, 3, 4 years from now and see where the 96 and Suarez respectively are. Are they together? Mm. Have they grown? What's gone on? I think this is the first year of a very interesting storyline for NASCAR.
Oh, yeah. All right, so let's go into Levon Family Racing, boys. We got Christopher Bell going in. He was one of the big three of the Xfinity Series. He was short of Xfinity Series championship this year and last year. So he's going to be paired up with Jason Ratcliffe. So what are you guys' off-season grades for Levon Family Racing?
I give LFR an A-. They brought in my opinion, the most talented and most complete of the big three.
Mm-hmm.
Although Christopher Bell was not able to get it done and finish off his Xfinity Championship season, I think that's going to make him even hungrier for this year.
Oh, yeah.
I think they're going to have to wait and see what happens, what this JGR Alliance really is going to be. There's murmurs that they do get more backing from Joe Gibbs this year. We're going to have to wait and see what that is. My biggest concern for this team coming into 2020 is, are the expectations on Christopher Bell too lofty? You're already hearing things like Jeff Gordon thrown around with his name, like that. Do we need to pump the brakes? Do we need to let him just kind of, you know, be who he is?
Right.
Or is he the kind of guy that rises to those expectations and pushes through the plateau?
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that. I also give the team an A- because Bell really looks like he is the real deal. I feel bad for Christopher Bell that he didn't win an Xfinity Series title because he was deserving both years he ran full time. It's just the way the system rolls down there is kind of how he lost those ones. And so you really just don't know because what their expectations could really be because is Christopher Bell, is this a long term deal for him or is this kind of a one season we're just going to have you this season and then you're going to go on to bigger and better things the next year. So what could you really set their expectations to be?
Right.
But before we really get into that, Ian, what are your off-season
grades? So my off-season grade is an A+. You know, you're bringing in the best of the big three. He had the most wins in 2018 and 2019 in the Xfinity Series. So, yeah, you have the best driver from the Xfinity Series moving into your team. So it can't get better than that. So I think he's going to have a great season. He might be close to a win, and he's going to help Levine just be way more competitive.
Okay.
But, so as far as expectation, I don't think I really said mine fully. Yeah, for me, it just really depends on how much backing they get from JGR.
Right.
He could get some top 10s, a top 15s, we just don't really know. I don't think he wins, but playoffs a possibility, because, again, I'm just thinking here, like, are they really going to set their expectations to the roof? Because this might not be their long-term future driver. This could just be a loan for 1 year and see what happens. But, having a guy like Christopher Bell driving your race car, I expect good things to happen.
Oh, yeah.
Correct.
All right. So let's move into Penske Racing now.
Okay.
I want you to talk about Penske.
Right.
This is your team.
Yeah. So if we're going to go into Penske, I give their overall off-season grade a B+. I think, although we didn't see any changes in who's in what seat, We all know about what happened with the crew chiefs. Jeremy Bullen's going over to the 2, Todd Gordon coming over to Ryan Blaney's 12 team, and Paul Wolf going over to the 22. The crew chiefs and the pit crews are making those changes.
Yeah.
So I think Ryan Blaney has benefited immensely from these changes.
He's got the best deal out of all three.
Yeah, he's literally the catbird seat now.
Yeah.
He's gotten one of the best crew chiefs in NASCAR in his corner now, a championship crew chief. I think Joey Logano did well here, too.
Oh,
Paul Wolf
is
also a very talented crew chief. I have questions about Brad Keselowski and Jeremy Bullens. Although they have had success together at the Xfinity level, will that translate over? How will that fit be? I give them a B+. I think this sets up Ryan Blaney to have a huge year and potentially be a breakout star, and I think it does a really good job of keeping Joey Logano's star where it is and potentially still being a championship driver.
Right.
Yeah, I gave him a solid B, too. Crew chief swaps can lead to future success.
Yep.
I worry for Brad Keselowski and Jeremy Bowens because Jeremy Bowens is going to be a little bit skeptical.
Yeah.
But these two have worked well together in the Xfinity Series. They have like 5 wins together down there, so who really knows? But yeah, Ryan Blaney definitely in the captain seat this year. He's got a championship crew chief now with him.
Yep.
So I really do expect big things out of this 12 car this year. And then Joey Logano, he's paired with another championship crew chief now. So it'll be interesting to see how everything works out for Penske, but I expect a pretty big year for him.
Yeah, I got to give them a B+. just for the pairing of Blaney and Logano with their crew chiefs. And like you said, Bowens has wins with Keselowski in the Xfinity level. So I think it's going to be a rocky start for them, but I think they're going to get used to each other and going to be able to work together well. And we know Keselowski. He'll either win early in the season or late in the season.
Right.
So there's no in-between or like a consistently good winning season. So.
Very peak or valley.
So maybe he can help Keselowski out with that.
Right.
So, and maybe dig him deeper into the playoffs, because every time he's gone in, he's eliminated by like the round of 12, which is a little weird for a championship.
Really
kind
of unacceptable for a team of this stature.
Yeah, hasn't really figured out this new playoff system, so.
Yeah.
So, time to really get that going.
Exactly.
Expectations for 2020, in my opinion, all three of these teams should have deep playoff runs. I think the 22 and potentially even the 12 could have championship four goals here. I think Ryan Blaney is very much so set up to be a breakout star this year. I think he's talked about it in preseason media. He's tired of being, you know, the least performing team or driver in this team, and it's time to change that, and I think everything's set up for him to do so. I think this is a situation where with Brad Keselowski, I could see a little bit of regression happen potentially. I could see him being a 10th or 11th place car, make the playoffs, and be out in the round of 12 again. I just don't know how much these moves help him. I think both of the other two cars will have deep runs in the round of 8, potentially even the round of 4, 4-1, or both of these teams.
Yeah.
I think Joey Logano, once again, is a championship contender.
Yeah, we could be totally missing it here, and Brad Keselowski and Jeremy Bowens can do great things together.
Yeah.
We just don't know, because for my 2020 expectations, I still think the two car can be a championship contender. I see him potentially winning 2 to 5 races this season, depending on how he and Bowens work. They could really just click right off the bat, and we could see a very strong Keselowski this season. But like we've said, he either wins really early or he wins really late. So I think what they have to work on this season is overall consistency.
Yeah,
correct.
And then for the 22, I mean, yeah, still very much so a championship contender. Kind of have the same thing, though, 2 to 5 win season, depending on how he and Paul Wolf work together. I still expect very good things out of that, and I think we'll see Logano in Phoenix as a championship four contender. For Ryan Blaney, I have him as a playoff contender. I think he does win this season. I think he's going to be a very strong round of 8 contender, and I think he has a breakout year.
All right. So for my 2020 expectations, I think Todd Gordon, he's going to help Blaney a lot. I think Blaney's going to be a multi-time winner this year, maybe 2 to 3 wins. He's going to win on some intermediate tracks. Because Todd Gordon, he's probably the best crew chief in NASCAR right now, I think.
One of the best.
Yeah, one of the best.
He's in the conversation, no doubt about it.
I think the best stepped down a couple months ago.
But yeah, I think he's really going to help Blaney out. Keselowski, you know, it's either a hit or miss with him and Bowens. Either he's going to have an amazing season, or it's just going to go down the drain. Who the hell knows? Because Bowens is just a difficult crew chief to work with sometimes.
We saw that
with Blaney.
Yeah, we'll see what the fit's like.
Yeah, and then Joey Logano with Paul Wolf. I mean, that's just a great pair right there. I mean, you got a veteran crew chief, a championship crew chief, and a championship driver paired up together.
Right.
I think it's going to work out well. I think there's going to be no worries. Joey's going to have probably 4 wins this year, I believe. Blaney 2 to 3, and Keselowski, I think he's going to have 2 wins.
I think you put
about
a,
where I have
I think you put a championship driver in Logano and a championship crew chief of Wolf together. They could really be the class of the field this year. So Penske Racing.
I think that's going to be a dangerous
combination.
It's going to
be a dangerous team this year.
Yeah. Right. Oof. I just want to add one thing, though. Penske Racing as a whole needs to get over that midsummer slump.
Yes. Yeah.
We saw it big time with Blaney. Kozlowski's fallen into it as well, and at times Logano. If this is a team that has championship aspirations, we have to find a way to be consistent from February through November. You cannot be peak and valley and be a champion.
So let's go on to Go Fast Racing. We got Corey LaJoy. And big news is that they're paired up with Stuart Haas Racing this year. So what are you guys' off-season grades?
I still give him a B minus. I mean, the Stuart Haas Alliance really helps me give that grade. I mean, but you have your crew chief from last year leaving. You got Ryan Sparks this year. Is this alliance really gonna? It's gonna help them, but how much is it gonna help them? Is what I really look at it when I talk about Corey LaJoy. So I give him a B minus.
Okay.
For this team, this offseason, in my opinion, was an A.
Yeah.
You took a team that last year was a backmarking team with a very talented driver, which I don't think a lot of people realize how talented Corey LaJoy is, what kind of wheelman he is. Now you're putting them in with an alliance of one of the top teams in NASCAR. Sure, we can debate exactly what that alliance has been, but straight from the horse's mouth, I can't remember the exact platform was, but I remember hearing Corey LaJoy even talk about a couple of these cars they're getting were cars Kevin Harvick has won in before, places like Phoenix and things like that. If you're getting quality equipment that people have won in before, that's gotta help.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think this is a team that's gonna be running inside the top 20 regularly or top 15 regularly, but this is a huge step in the right direction as we try to grow long term for that 32.
Exactly. I'm thinking this, so yeah, it's gotta be an A. This could be the start of something great for Go Fast Racing. This could be possibly, you know, turning into like a Furniture Row kind of deal here. You know, it weighs down the road. You know, this is their first year. You know, it took a while for Furniture Row to take off, too, when they got their alliance. But I think it's going to be great. So I got to give them an A. It's fantastic.
I don't know. Because it's just because I read on Twitter, his old crew chief, Randy Cox, was tweeting out saying, like, yeah, it's still, they got the alliance and everything. But it, from what he said was it's only going to be a couple parts and everything. So I don't know. I hope this works out, but not going to be as optimistic as you guys really are yet. Time will only tell, my expectations for them this season, I still think with this alliance, they have the chance to run top 20s, but I really still think they're a 20th to a 25th place, maybe a 26th place race car as they kind of figure out what this alliance is going to do for them.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Again, we've had kind of varying information as far as what the alliance will be. I tend to believe what the driver says, and Corey LaJoy is going to have the best information.
Right.
Again, I'm a big fan of Corey LaJoy's podcast. He's talked about it on there before, and he seemed over the moon about it, so I have no reason to think otherwise. I think Nick's right on board with about where this team is. They're probably a 20th, 25th place team.
Yeah.
I think this is one of those things where, like we said, this is a long-term deal we're looking at here.
Yeah.
This is something we're looking at hopefully in 10, 15 years. Nah, that's maybe too far out now that I'm saying that. Maybe about 5 years from now, thinking that that's a top 15 kind of team. I think that's what they're trying to grow into.
My expectations, I think Corey's, he's going to have a much better season than he has in the past just because of the alliance with Stuart Haas Racing. I can definitely see them being like, you know, top, you know, maybe 20th place in the points by the end of the year if, you know, the alliance does go very well, and they do have the kind of equipment that they are thinking that they're going to have. Well, let's end the show with some very early championship picks.
All right.
So what do you guys have for your championship picks?
Well, I got to go with the guy that I picked to win last season's championship. I think it's going to be Denny Hamlin. I think Denny Hamlin wins the title. I think that it's finally his year. After the year he had last year, the disappointing way that it ended, I think he has a great regular season, and I think he just steamrolls through the playoffs and gets that first championship.
Yep.
Okay. For me, I don't think there's any reason to think anything other than Kyle Busch repeats as champion, goes back-to-back, solidifies his place as once again one of the most talented drivers in NASCAR and one of the baddest dudes in the sport. I think Kyle Busch, once again, will be a NASCAR champion.
Okay. I think... My guy, I got to go with my guy Kevin Harvick. I mean, he's been in the championship for so many years in a row, and he's finally going to go and lock up his second championship. So let's talk about our Rookie of the Year pick now. Who do you guys have?
I got to go with Christopher Bell. I mean, he's one of the best drivers in the Xfinity Series these past couple of years. Anything he puts his hands on that steering wheel, it doesn't matter what he's driving, he's going to be good at it. So I think it's going to be a tight battle between the big three, but I think Christopher Bell comes out on top.
Okay.
I have to go with Cole Custer. While I think this is going to sound like a knock, I don't necessarily mean it as one. Mm-hmm. While I think out of the three of the big three, he is the third best driver, I think he's landing in the best situation going into 2020. He's stepping into a top a five-star ride as far as NASCAR is concerned in that 41-card SHR. I think he's going to have the best chance to potentially win races this year, finish in the top five and top ten on any kind of a consistent basis. I think for that reason alone, he's my easy pick for the ROI.
Okay. Yeah, I'm right there with you with Cole Custer. You know, he's going into the best equipment. I think that's the best we can say for him, and you know, he just had, you know, amazing, you know, career in the Xfinity Series. So I think he's really going to show it in the Cup Series. All right, so now let's go to our breakout star for the 2020 season. Right. What do you guys got?
I gotta go with my boy this year, Matt DiBenedetto. I mean, he's stepping into a great opportunity right here because of the equipment he's been in the past. Hasn't been the best, but he's always outperforming that equipment. So I really think Matt is on for a good year here. Like I said before, maybe he gets a win this year. But I think he's got a strong shot to be a playoff contender. We'll see where that takes him from there, but I think he's really going to have a great season.
Okay, Mike?
I think our breakout star, everything's poised for him to have a big season, is Ryan Blaney. I think Ryan Blaney is in a top ride, as we've talked about. Mm-hmm. I think he's a supremely talented driver, and I think having Todd Gordon come over, the stars are aligning for Ryan Blaney and the 12 to have a huge year. I could see him getting three or four wins this year, making a very deep run into the playoffs, and maybe even making the last spot of the championship four. It's a possibility. Mm-hmm. Not saying it's going to happen, but I think he's got every possibility for it happening.
Right.
I think Ryan Blaney breaks out this year and doesn't look back.
Okay. So I got to go with William Byron to be my breakout star. He had a great season. Like, you know, steadily moving forward, great season, I guess, with pairing up with Chad Knaus. But I think he's going to have a win or two this year, and he's going to surprise everyone and be great in that 24 car. So with ending this, what was your guys' surprise playoff driver?
Well, I have the surprise playoff driver, and I also have how he's going to do it and what race. So I got to go with the man, Tyler Reddick. The last of the big three.
Yeah.
I think Tyler Reddick in that eight car, last season he was very good at the Kansas race that he ran in.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Tyler Reddick on a strategy gets it done in the Kansas night race, and he's going to be your surprise playoff driver.
I like it.
Okay.
So I think my surprise playoff driver is going to be Chris Buescher in the 17. I think he's shown that he can drive on restrictor plates very well. I think he's in a car that's proven to be a best in show at restrictor plates.
Yeah.
I see Chris Buescher winning the regular season finale and punching his ticket to the round of 16.
Okay. Wow, okay. That's bold right there. But you know what? I like it. I like it a lot. My surprise playoff driver, I got to have it be Cole Custer. There's a possibility that he could get a win. I mean, he's in one of the best cars in the Cup Series right now. So we could see, you know, it's been a while since we've seen a rookie, you know, take over and, you know, get a win or two. But I think Cole Custer is the guy that can do it. But if not, I think he can sneak his way in with points.
All right.
That
about wraps us up here.
Yeah. We should. I just want to say one thing. Last Thursday, John Andretti passed away after a hard battle with cancer. So our thoughts and prayers go out with the Andretti family during this difficult time. And we just want to say our thoughts and prayers. So,
couldn't agree more.
Yeah. So on that note, for the Stock Car Spectacle, I'm Ian Jortson.
I'm Mike Gamble.
And I'm Nick Kinzel.
Guys, thanks for watching. Make sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram. Make sure to follow Ashland Headings Racing. Josh Balicki, thank you for this. Shout out to our boy Mike for getting that. You're just a master at
winning
things on Twitter.
Yeah, again, Josh Balicki, thank you. Appreciate it, my man. It's on the set for everybody to see.
Beautiful.
You're awesome. Another little quick little tidbit I want to add. Guys, start looking out for our shows on Spotify as well. We're working on that, maybe even some more platforms as we go. So keep your eyes and ears open and tuned in for 2020. We got big things coming to the Stock Car Spectacle.
All right, thanks for watching, guys.